one of those things that we've been talking about for 3 weeks. This is the third week. Welcome. Thank you for being a part of it. I want to welcome all of our churches, everybody online. Prayer is one of those things that I think most people believe in. Most people feel like they want to do more of, but kind of like that clip, they don't feel very equipped to do so. They don't feel like they know the right words. They don't know the right thing to say. And it's no wonder that we don't feel equipped to pray, because I want you to think of all of the strange prayers you've ever heard. Think of some of the strangest prayers. Even if you're not a Bible or a Jesus person, there is a strange prayer that you know, because somehow it kind of became kind of famous. And even if you never really said it, you know it. And it's specifically a prayer that I don't know why anybody would have ever prayed this, but they would pray it before they go to sleep. You know the one I'm talking about? And now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to sleep. If I should die. Who puts that in a nighttime prayer? If I should die before I pray the Lord my soul to sleep. Nighty night, kids. Sleep well on that one. Close the door, leave them in the dark. Really? Like, that's strange, man. That's weird. And another one that I think is just kind of a weird prayer. I talked about this a little bit in week number one. I think it's weird to, you know, when you sit down to a meal, when you're going to eat, to bless the food. Being thankful for it is one thing, but to bless it, first of all, it's already blessed. It already has all the nutrients and calories of whatever it is, right? Like the vitamins. Like, it's not as if you bless it and God's going to change the nutritional value. Although, I think that's an especially weird prayer. You know, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies at the San Diego County Fair. That's a weird prayer, right? You're eating a fried bacon-wrapped stick of butter and you're like, Lord, bless this to the nourishment of my body. As if he's going to change it to the calorie content of broccoli as it goes down into your stomach. Like, that's just a weird prayer. And so what we've been learning in this series is that prayer is so much more than something you say before you eat or something you say before you go to bed. That prayer actually has the potential and it has the power to change our life, because it changes our connection with God. And in fact, here's our series' big idea. I want to invite you to take some notes, grab that outline out of your program, or if you're on the app, click over there. Here's the series' big idea. This is why we're doing the series, and this is why we pray. We pray so that we can be connected to God and his power. Write that in there. You never pray for prayer's sake. We're not trying to do this prayer series so we can all get good at prayer, and that's the end goal. The whole reason we pray is to know God more and be connected to his power. Prayer connects us to the person, the presence, and the power of God. This is the point of prayer. So instead of trying to live out of our own strength and our own wisdom, we can now tap into, through prayer, the source of all strength and the source of all wisdom, God. This is the goal of prayer. Now, every week, we're taking a different angle on a prayer that we are praying for ourselves, that I've been praying for you. And we're launching into the topic each week by looking at a prayer that a guy who wrote most of the New Testament by the name of Paul, that he prayed for his friends or a friend. And so this week, we're going to look at a prayer that Paul prayed, not for a group of people, but for one person by the name of Philemon. This prayer comes from one of the smallest little books in the entire, collection of scriptures. The Bible is made up of 66 different unique books, Old Testament one half, New Testament other half. The book of Philemon, it is just one chapter, 25 verses, 335 words. And if you're not looking for it, it's hard to find because it's so small. But what's really unique about it, Paul is writing a personal letter from a Roman prison to a successful businessman who lives in this ancient city of Colossae, where Paul had helped start a church, and that church meets in Philemon's house. And the circumstances around Paul writing this letter, why he wrote this letter to his friend Philemon, it's really fascinating. Don't have time to get into it today. We should do a series on it at another time. Because the themes, why Paul writes the letter, if you read it, he writes the letter, it's filled with huge themes of forgiveness, bringing and breaking down social barriers between people, and then ultimately mutual respect for one another. That's kind of what the letter is about. But at the very beginning of this letter, he says a prayer for his friend, and it's a prayer that I've been praying for you and praying for all of our churches all week. Here's what he writes. I always thank my God as I remember you in prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. If you've been with us every week, you know that Paul has this very specific way that he writes his prayers. He always says, I pray that, and then he says what he's praying for, and then he says, so that, and here's what I hope it does in your life. So every time you read a prayer, it always says, I pray that, so that. And on this one, he prays something very specific for his friends, and it's what I've been praying for you. And if you're taking notes, I want you to go back up and underline it. He says, I pray that you may be, underline this little phrase, active in sharing your faith. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Why does he want his friend to share his faith? And why do I want you to walk out of here today more motivated to live your life in a way that helps you be active in sharing your faith? So that you will gain a full understanding of everything you have in Christ. This prayer is super interesting because it's actually very counterintuitive, kind of upside down thinking to what most Christians think. Most Jesus followers think, well, when I know more, when I kind of got the Bible down, when I'm able to answer everybody's questions, then I might get active in sharing my faith. But what Paul implies here is the total opposite. He says, if you want to grow, if you want to have a full understanding of everything you have in Christ, you share your faith first, and then you actually grow. It's not the other way around. This is what he points out. You see, sharing our faith with others, sharing the hope we have in Jesus, it is the greatest momentum, kind of spiritual momentum creator that you could ever have in your life. This is what Paul is referring to. Because when you get in the game of sharing your faith, you kind of get out of the sidelines of observing or making your faith all just about you, and you get into the front lines of the Jesus mission, which is about sharing the good news story of Jesus with the world. And so here's what I would say. If you're a Jesus follower and you would say that your faith feels kind of stagnant, maybe you feel like you're bored in following Jesus. Maybe there's no excitement in kind of your spiritual life. Here's what I bet is true. Either you've never been active in sharing your faith, or if you look back, you would go, you know what? It's been a really long time since I was active in sharing my faith. Because the greatest kind of spiritual accelerant that you could put on your life is to choose to say, God, put me at the front lines of your mission, where in my life, at my school, on my job, in my neighborhood, I can live in a way to be a part of actively sharing my faith. That will help you grow and energize your spiritual life like nothing else. And I think most Jesus followers realize, like, that's pretty important for us to do. Be active in sharing our faith. We talk about this all the time in our church, that we, the church, not a building, not an organization, but people, that we are God's plan A for sharing his good news story with the world. There is no plan B. Like we're it. We're God's main plan for sharing the good news and showing it through the way that we love and the way we serve people. And I think most people get that, but yet we're not as active in sharing our faith as we should be, and we definitely probably don't do it with confidence. And so why is that? Why is it that something we should do, kind of like prayer, we probably don't do as much as we could? And let me give you three reasons why I think a lot of us, and see if you can find yourself in one of these, because I know as I was studying for this week, I found myself, I was like, oh man, that one. It's actually this first one. I think a lot of us don't share our faith because we're just too busy. Write that down. We're just too busy. Sharing your faith requires that you share your life. And if you have no margin in your life to actually be with other people, it's gonna be really hard to share your faith. I was reminded of that this week. I went on a walk in my neighborhood and I was coming back from the walk, and one of my neighbors was out front sitting around a fire pit with one of our other neighbors. And so as I walked by, I heard them. And so I just walked up into their yard. We're all friends, and said hello and went to sit down. And when I walked up into my neighbor's yard, he kind of stood up and looked at me. And, you know, this is what guys do to show love, right? We sarcastically put each other down. And so that's what he did when I walked up. He stood up and was like, "Dude, I thought you moved." He's like, "Where have you been? I haven't seen you forever." And so we start talking, and I realize, like, dude, he's right. I was so busy this spring between my wife's, you know, and here's what I told him. I was like, "Yeah, we've been crazy busy between my work, my wife's work." And then this came out of my mouth. I said, "And this spring, our three kids were on 5 different sports teams." And when I said it, it was like the first time it registered that that's what we had done. You know what 3 kids on 5 sports teams is called? Stupid. That's what it's called. I'm like, how did this happen? Why did we let this happen? And so honestly, the last several months of my life, I haven't hung out with my neighbors. I haven't been, you know, engaged in some purposeful friendships the way I have in other seasons because I was just too busy. And sharing your faith, it always means sharing your life. And what we have to do as people is we live in a culture that wants us to be activity rich, but it's always at a price of being relationship poor. And so we do this, think about this as parents. We do this with our kids all the time, right? We put them in this sport, we put them in that activity, they go to this camp, they do this thing, and man, they are activity rich. But we need to be careful that it's not at the cost of being relationship poor in our families, in our relationship with God, and in the relationship with friends and people that he has put in the circles of our life. And so one reason I think a lot of us don't share our faith more is we're just too busy. We're just always go, 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 go. Here's another reason. I think a lot of us don't share our faith because we don't want to be that weird person, right? Write that in there. You know who I'm talking about. You ever go to concerts, you know, or a big sporting event, and for some reason there are these people that think it's a good idea that they should be on the corner where everybody's walking into the concert with a really nice Jesus sign that says, "Turn or burn, sinners." You ever seen them? And dude, they're yelling, they're mean, they're like, you know, like, "You're going to hell." And I always think, like, what makes them assume everybody going to this concert, you know, like doesn't know Jesus? And so I'm walking in there and they're yelling at me and I'm like, dude, like, I'm actually a pastor. Stop judging me just because I'm going to a Taylor Swift concert. Back off, man. Right? Like, So I get, like, we don't want to be that weird person. Or maybe, you know, you think, like, man, if I'm going to be active in sharing my faith, that means, you know, I have to, like, you know, I don't know about you, but I do not like those really nice people who really annoyingly knock on my door on Saturday mornings to tell me about Jesus and their church. I'm like, I love Jesus, and I don't want to talk to you about him at 9 a.m. on my front door. Like, sorry. Or maybe you don't, you know, I get not wanting to be the weird person that's always trying to force Jesus into an awkward conversation, right? Like, you're just talking about something normal, and then you ever been around those people, and they awkwardly transition the conversation and almost into like a spiritual, like, gotcha moment. Like, you're in the break room at work making a new pot of coffee. They walk in and be like, "Hey, is the coffee hot?" And you go, "No, it's lukewarm. That's why I'm making a new one." And then they're like, "Well, you better not be lukewarm or Jesus will spit you out of his mouth. Have a good afternoon." It's like, dude, that's not helping anybody, okay? So I get not wanting to be the, you know, like, spiritually weird person or the person that's trying to force their beliefs onto somebody else. And what I'm gonna show you today is that there is a way to be active in sharing your faith that doesn't require you to be weird, that doesn't require you to be pushy or awkward in a conversation or force anything on anyone, because it is a way of sharing Jesus that is based in love and friendship, because that's the way Jesus shared himself, in love and friendship. And real quick, here's the third reason I think a lot of us don't share our faith. We just don't feel like we know enough. We just don't feel like we know enough. We think, like, man, well, man, if I'm gonna let people know I follow Jesus, I better be ready to answer all the debate questions that they're going to have. And, well, what about this? And what about, you know, like, creation? And what about all these? And they're gonna ask me, and I better have all the right answers. And the truth is, sharing your faith, being active in sharing your faith, it's not about having all the right answers. In fact, let me take you back. What did our theme verse say? I pray that you will be active in sharing your faith. Why? So then you will gain all the understanding of the good things that you have in Christ. You actually will grow more and know more when you are active in sharing your faith, not the reversal. You see, one of the greatest dangers of any Christian or church is to become inward focused and self-centered rather than outward focused and others centered. It's real easy for Jesus people to start judging people outside the church rather than loving people outside the church. And if you will get active in sharing your faith, here's what it does. It gets you focused on the mission of Jesus, which is always others-centered. And churches get wonky and funky and dysfunctional real quick when they start caring about, you know, who's already here as opposed to caring about who's not here yet. And so what being active in sharing your faith does, it gets you focused on what Jesus was focused on, which is actually other people. And so how is it that we can share our faith? I want to give you three easy things that you can do this week. Here's how you can start to answer that prayer. Because I've been praying for you all week, and I'm going to pray it all this next week, that you will be active in sharing your faith. So what are some ways that you could do that starting tomorrow? All right, three ways to share your faith. Here's the first one. Live a life that is attractive to others. Write that in there. Live a life that is attractive to others. If you are a Jesus person, you should have joy in your life. If you are a Jesus person, you should be loving. If you are a Jesus person, there should be, you know, elements, levels of compassion and empathy for other people. If you are a Jesus person, you should be generous and kind towards other people. All right, if you are grumpy most of the time, if you're kind of that mean person in your neighborhood or at your school or on your job, if you gossip, please don't tell people you come to church here. All right? Tell them you're a Jehovah's Witness or something. All right? But do not tell them you attend here. Because if you are a Jesus person, Jesus people should be the most loving, generous people on the planet. Why? Because supposedly we've connected to the most loving, generous God, who has given everything so that everyone can be in a relationship with him. And so what we've been learning in this prayer series is also who God is, that he is a good, generous, heavenly Father who doesn't withhold anything from his kids. And so if you and I are Jesus people, then we should learn how to reflect our Father, who is kind, who is loving, who is generous. And so here's what I want you to do. This week, maybe today, would you check your heart a little bit? Would you check your attitude? Would you check your words? Have they been reflecting a kind, generous, loving Father? Do you need to change some of those attitudes on the job? Do you need to change some of those words that have been coming out of your mouth? And some of you are like, I can't do it. That's the whole point. You can't do it on your own. This is why we pray. Why do we pray? To be connected to God and his what? What is that other word? In our his power. The whole reason we pray is that so we can be connected to a God who has what we don't have, who has all the strength and all the power and all the wisdom. And so this week, would you live a life that is attractive to other people? Here's another way that is very easy way to be active in sharing your faith. Write this down. Invite people to church. An easy way to share your faith is to share your church. One of the things that I appreciate and love about every weekend is almost every service, every weekend, someone, one of you who invited a friend will bring their first time guest up to like meet me, you know, and they'll go, hey, these are our friends. We brought them for the first time. And did you know that's how most people have found out about our church? Is because a coworker, a neighbor, somebody they play on a little, you know, their kids play soccer together or whatever, says, hey, man, why don't you come? We do this every week as a family. Our kids have a great time. Our students have a great time. It's really meaningful for us. We'd love for you to come and check it out with us. That's how most people hear about our church. And so every weekend I meet people like that. And even last weekend, it happened several times, but one in particular I remember was last weekend. One of our members, who's a good friend of mine, actually, brought a new family. And so I saw him walking towards me on the patio, and he was kind of in front, and his wife and another couple with two little kids was behind him. And he had this total cheesy look on his face. He's walking up to me like, like, and I got it. I'm like, you know, oh, he's like, we brought some friends, you know? And so then he tried to act all cool. He's like, hey, these are friends. They came for the first time. You know, I wanted you to meet them. And I'm like, hey, nice to meet you guys. And hope you enjoyed the service. And they're like, yeah, we were kind of nervous. We haven't been to church in like 20 years. And we were like, okay, but let's go check it out. And I was like, hey, did your kids have a good time? They're like, yeah, we checked them in the kids program. They loved it. It's like, hey, well, nice to meet you. Hope you guys come back again. And they walked off. And then my friend kind of hung back and he let them get a step or two ahead. And then he looked back and he was like, dude, that didn't suck at all today. And I was like, yes, it didn't suck at all. I'm glad, right? Because we work really hard every single weekend to make sure that no matter what topic we're talking about, that it's understandable and it's relatable to everyone. That it can apply to our everyday life. Because around here, everybody's wanted, everybody's welcomed, every single person. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do. Be a bringer. Be somebody that brings people with you. Easy way to be active in sharing your faith is simply share your church. And then here's another way to share your faith. Write this down. You be a person that you bless people where you live, work, and play. Bless people where you live, work, and play. God's strategy for restoring and redeeming our world has always been that his people will bless people. This is the way God worked in the Old Testament in what's called the Old Covenant. It's the way he works in the New Testament in what's called the New Covenant. God's plan has always been that he would bless his people so that they could be his representative in the world and bless the world. This is always the way the kingdom of God works. And so God blesses me so I can bless other people. God blesses you so you can be a blessing to other people. This is how it works. Let me give you some examples of this. God blesses us with his unconditional love. Why? So that we in turn can bless other people by unconditionally loving them the way our Father loves us. God blesses us with forgiveness from our sin. Why? So that we can forgive people when they hurt us and sin against us, representing our Father. God blesses us with more than we need in this life so that we can share some of what he has given us with people who are in real need. This is the way the kingdom of God works. You see, you are designed and meant to be a conduit of God's blessing, meaning that God's power flows in you and then it flows through you. His goodness, his grace, his blessing, it comes to you and then you share it with other people. You are not meant to be a grounder of God's blessing, that everything that comes to you is just for you. Did you know there is nothing that God has given you that he does not intend for you to share with other people? This is the way God works. This is the way that Jesus lived. And it's as simple as taking who you are, what you have, what you're passionate about, and then going, God, how can I use that? How can I use my skills? How can I use my hobbies? How can I use my passions to bless people where I live, where I work, and where I play? Some people at our church up in La Jolla, one of our church campuses, Torrey Pines Church, they've been doing this in a really unique, cool way, blessing the people where they live and where they play. Watch this.
Sometimes sharing your faith is so intimidating. People actually feel guilty because they don't have the right words to say. You don't have to have all the answers, but we are called to live life with people. Hi, my name's Darren Kloss, and I'm with Torrey Pines Church Surf Ministry. It's my absolute passion and joy. Each time I get involved with the people around Torrey Pines to serve other people at the beach, in the ocean, surfing and just enjoying God's creation. Torrey Pines Surf Ministry has been around for about 12 years. We were founded just to share the love of God with people in the ocean, in and around the beach, in the surf community, in our local area. People come up and they think, hey, can we rent a board? And we tell them, no, but we'll lend you one for free. And it's kind of shocking to most people, but we just tell them, hey, it's already been paid for. And that kind of piques some curiosity from some people. And we say we're part of a church and we just love to come out and bless people and hang out. What I've learned over the years is that you don't have to stand on the boardwalk and hand out tracts to share your faith. You don't have to know the four spiritual laws. You don't have, certainly don't have to have all the answers, but you can do life with people where people experience a different way of doing life together, a different way of doing community, and a way of sharing and serving and coming alongside people to kind of help people move towards the love of God.
I moved here about 6 months ago. I decided to start to check out the Saturday Surf Ministry. I liked how they really sought to meet the community where they were at. They really took a no-pressure approach, and they were out in the community. They were out just doing life with people and showing their faith and not just speaking it, but really demonstrating it. And someone once told me that our actions are our prayers, and these are folks that are living out those prayers. They're living out their faith with the community around them and just really reaching out and meeting people where they're at and bringing them into the faith that way. And I really appreciated that approach, and so I started attending Torrey Pines and just really fell in love with the mission mind of the church.
I think that God's blessed all of us with certain gifts, and for me, it's the gift of surfing and being in the water and being in the ocean. And he's shown me over the years how to use that in order to bless other people. And when those two things come together, when you're serving God in an area that you're gifted, it really opens up huge opportunities for developing relationships with people and leading people towards the love of God and serving your community better.
I love that story because it shows us how easy it is to take something that we enjoy and to say, how can we use that to bless other people and to show and share the love of Jesus? And around here, that word bless, it actually is an acronym for a very specific Jesus rhythm of living on how we can show and share his love. And I want to give it to you real quick. And we talk about this multiple times a year. Some of you are starting to remember like, oh yeah, bless. That's the kind of people and the kind of church we want to be. What does that stand for? It stands for helping us learn to live and love like Jesus. And here's how Jesus did it. Write this down. B stands for begin in prayer. First thing Jesus did was he prayed. He prayed for the city of Jerusalem. He prayed for his people. He prayed for those that were far from God. And so here's what I'm asking you during this 40 days of prayer. Would you begin this week praying for the people in the three circles that you're most often in, where you live, where you work, where you play? And here's what I'm encouraging you to do. We've been talking about this every week in the series, to learn how to write prayers down. Write down the names. Do you even know the names of your neighbors? Write their names down. If you have one of these prayer and scripture journals that we've been talking about and giving away at 201, or you purchased one, take a page, write down some names of your neighbors. Write down a couple coworkers. Write down some people that your kids are playing soccer with, or the other social circles, the gym that you go to, or whatever it is that you do. And start praying for some other people, because here's what will happen for you if you do. I promise this. You see, when you get active in sharing your faith, it starts with praying for others. And praying for others helps you begin to be other-centered instead of self-centered. And what happens is you, in your own faith and your passion for following Jesus, it will grow if you get your eyes off yourself and start caring about other people like Jesus did. And so begin in prayer. Here's the second thing. L stands for listen. You don't begin with prayer and then walk up to him and go, how's the coffee? Right? Like you don't start there. You listen. Why is it important to learn how to listen? Here's why. Because everyone you know, including yourself, wants people in their life that love them enough and care enough to listen to their hopes, their dreams, their pains, their sorrows, their worries, their challenges, and simply just be with them. And so listen, begin in prayer, listen. Because when you start to listen, you're gonna know what to pray for. And then here's E. E stands for eat. Some of you are like, dude, I can do that one. I might not be able to pray good, but I can eat good. Did you know eating is a spiritual practice? Now, let me define that and be clear. eating a half gallon of ice cream by yourself at night is not a spiritual practice. That's a demonic activity, okay? But sharing a meal with another person or another family for the purpose of sharing life together, that is a spiritual practice. And so you begin with prayer, you listen, you eat, which means sharing life with people, not being so busy that you can't even just share moments together. And then the first S, write this down, it's serve. You look for ways to serve them. How can I bless them? Because when you get to know people, you kind of start to know what their needs are and you can figure out how to serve them. Let me give you an example of that. Let's say that you're getting, you know, you intentionally say, you know what, let me get to know that coworker a little bit more. And you find out from maybe sharing a lunch, sharing a meal with them, you know, that they're like, yeah, our marriage is just really, it's a little tense. You know, it's hard. We got, you know, two or three little kids at home and our, you know, my spouse and I, we never have any time to ourselves. And so a great way that you could serve them would be to say, hey, you know what? I remember you sharing a couple weeks ago that you guys never have any time together. Why don't you bring your kids over to our house, let us watch them, and you guys go out on a date? What an easy way to go, somebody that you're intentionally sharing life with, to go, what do they need and how could I serve them? And then the last S in this blessed way of living is to story. That you eventually share the Jesus story and your Jesus story. Because I believe that if you're praying for someone, you're listening to them, you're eating with them, you're sharing life with them, you're serving them, you're growing in friendship. Friendship is the basis that there will be these natural God opportunities to share the Jesus story and to share your Jesus story. How Jesus has changed you and how he is changing you. Because Jesus changes lives and Jesus changes eternity. And without Jesus, our friends and our family and the people that we love, they are separated from God. And so us being active in sharing our faith, man, it is really important.